Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning. You're listening to In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Joe Campanelli. And today we have an exciting and a little bit of a different show, different sort of show today. We'll actually have a panel of amazing guests here when we're all going to be talking about the Taste of the Nation event coming up to support Share Our Strengths efforts for their No Kid Hungry campaign on April 28th. It's something that that we're very involved in through our group, through the Epicurean Group of Restaurants. We're I think represented by all of our restaurants at the event. Anyway, it's April 28th. It's an amazing event to benefit the No Kid Hungry campaign. Starts at 6 o'clock for the VIP tickets, 7 o'clock for general. I'm going to give you the website now to purchase tickets, and then probably once or twice more throughout. But to get tickets, it's tasteofthenation.org/New York City. And now I'm going to have everyone here introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about who you are and also how you got involved with Share Our Strength and this event. Let's start with Jenny.
I'm Jenny Dirksen. I'm the National Director of Culinary Events for Share Our Strength. My background is restaurants. I started as a line cook in college and spent a long time working for Danny Meyer when I left the kitchen. He's on the board of Share Our Strength, and once I became a mom, it was pretty clear to me that I wanted to be working in a cause-focused area, something that would help kids. Share Our Strength is focused on ending childhood hunger in this country, so to be able to do some good in this world and still work with chefs and with food, that's awesome.
August.
Hi, August Cardona. I am the managing partner, CEO of Epicurean Group, Joe's partner, and got originally involved, or at least introduced, when I first met Jenny. I don't know if she knows that or not, years ago, and have just, over the years, become more familiar with the organization, with Taste of a Nation, just from participating with the restaurants. I think the it's a pretty amazing cause and an amazing, amazing organization. So happy to be involved with it.
Good morning. I'm John DeLucci. I'm the chef and proprietor of three New York City restaurants, the Lion, Bill's, and Crown. And, you know, for me, I spent a lot of years cooking for, you know, people who are very fortunate. And, you know, I wanted to find a way to give back. And I have a good buddy that's that runs a charter school in South Bronx. And so, you know, I was just sort of blown away by the statistics and you know, just a lot of what's happening, in, especially in New York City, with kids and people who are going hungry. So this is my way to get involved and make a difference.
All right.
I'm Heather Carlucci. I am the in-house food consultant for Mother New York, a design, promotion, and advertising firm. And I'm also the co-producer for Pig Mountain. And in the past number of years that I've left the restaurant world, I've been doing a lot of activism, farm and hunger-related causes, and working with government, local government. And I think as a chef, you're always forced to do these events. And I think my first event ever out of culinary school in the 80s was actually might have been an SOS event. And and I've just been always sort of, you know, hands-on on these causes, and I'm just honored to be asked to be on the host committee this year.
Yeah, and you know, there's a ton of events that happen all year long. This is a really, really special one. Not only, you know, John's restaurants, our restaurants will be there. A ton of great restaurants like Pearl and Ash, Toro, Maison Premier, Mile End, Bettany, Dominique Ansel, Eddie and the Wolf, Estella, Hill Country Barbecue. It's a huge list of the top restaurants. How did you get so many great restaurants, so many great people to participate in this?
I think we're really fortunate. The event has been around more than 25 years. And I think, like Heather said, for so many chefs, it was the event you went to. It might have been the first event that you went to. It might have been the event that you went to when you created your own name for yourself. So I think as chefs come up through the ranks and start to open their own businesses, it's sort of a mark of, I'm going to go stand shoulder to shoulder with the guys and gals I used to cook for by being at this event. And I think we're so fortunate that it's one that so many restaurants and chefs keep on their culinary itineraries every spring.
Now, August, we get invited to volunteer at, to cook for, to participate in so many events. How do you choose what we end up participating in? What are the decisions you make? And I'll pose the same question to John as well.
Well, I think there's a lot of different factors that go into it. Of course, as it relates to Share Our Strength and this event. In particular, it's impactful. It's seriously impactful. And I think that's from our standpoint. You know, we talk with together as partners and try to decide what we want to do. And there's a number of factors that go in, but it's really the Share Our Strength, the Taste of the Nation. It's a no-brainer for us every year because of how impactful it is. Because we know it's going to be run really spectacularly by the group. And we're going to be lucky enough to be next to a lot of great restaurants and chefs and so.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we get asked to do so many things, and you know our time. You know, you just run out of. You know, there's just not enough time, not enough hours in the week to do all the charity stuff that you really want to do. So you try to choose the stuff that's the most impactful. And I think this is an event that that's just attended by so many people. You know, it's out there in social media, and it's a way for people to get involved in large numbers and to sort of get the message out, in a very broad way.
Yeah. Now, Heather, you said that you felt like this event was kind of required for someone who's young in the industry. Do you feel like there's a lot of pressure from the industry to participate in charity events, to give back, or do you think that people are largely doing this because they really want to?
Probably both. I mean, I think, especially now we see this huge rash of, younger people, entrepreneurial people opening up small restaurants in ways that when I started, it didn't happen. And it's the best way to get yourself out there. I think, and then of course you have to, I'm saying there's so many events now, and which is great on one hand, because I remember when, Share Our Strength was maybe one of only two or three a year. Mm-hmm. And you were lucky if you got in, and now it's so big and everybody can sort of participate. And you really have to sort of figure out, is this your cause? Can you put your time and your energy into it? And I think one of the great things about the Taste of the Nation, I mean, it's sort of, right now it's really tried and true. I mean, I started a new event and it's really difficult to build up a background and get your message out and say, this is really good and we're going to take care of everybody. But I know when I walk into an SOS event, like, it's there and everybody's well taken care of and their words and their money go to where they're supposed to go.
Yeah. And you have that the added benefit from someone in the industry of not only doing something where you're giving back, but you also have that networking with other. I think August mentioned it too. You want to meet these other great people who are also motivated to be there, the top people in the industry. And so I've made friends and industry connections through these kind of events. And so it's a great thing.
We're in kitchens all the time. Like, I never really see the light of day. So these are really important events for us.
Now, Jenny, can you tell us about how Share Our Strength kind of differs from region to region? So we're obviously talking about New York City here, and it's something for me, it's very personal. I grew up in New York City and went to public school and was on free and reduced cost lunch and breakfast. And even the breakfast, we didn't, I was reading some of the statistics. Most people don't take advantage of the breakfast. I know that even though we qualified, I also did not take advantage of the breakfast as a kid. Either it was for me, I think it was mostly because I had a hard time getting there on time.
It's one of the big challenges with breakfast in school is kids getting there before the bell. And one of the things that mm-hmm. Share Our Strength advocates for is a breakfast after the bell, a grab and go that any child can take so that there's not stigma involved and you don't have the hurdle of, I live in Staten Island, but I'm commuting to school in the Bronx. How am I going to get there on time? And definitely in New York, 925,000 kids struggle with hunger. It's just about one in four. And so to be able to do the work here, I grew up just outside of the city, is so meaningful. Across the country, 21 million kids are eligible for free or reduced price lunch. About 70% of them take advantage of that program, but only half, about 11 million, do school breakfast, and even fewer in the summer. About 3 million kids take advantage of summer meals, so that's where we're focused. And the events are a great way to raise awareness of this struggle. So I think every event, we do 32 events across the U.S. and Canada, and every event really becomes a product of its place. So I think the New York event, you know, we're New York City. We step it up. It's a little flashier. It's great, but we have events in Ithaca. We have events in Manchester, New Hampshire. We have events, I mean, all across the country, and people who are from those places, chefs who are from those places, show up. They bring their heart into it. So I think at all of them, there is a level of devotion that communicates this is a Share Our Strength, Taste of the Nation event, but then each one you go to has its own local spin.
And what are some of the issues that are particular to New York City that you don't see in other regions?
I think just the size of the issue of childhood hunger because mm-hmm. of the size of the city. I think that's a huge piece. New York is interesting because we have so much infrastructure around public transportation, and yet it doesn't always alleviate the challenge of children making it to school on time. But I think that the size of the problem in New York is pretty huge, and it also means that the size of our impact can be huge too. So we use mobile meals trucks in the summertime mm-hmm. with the DOE to distribute meals to kids at public parks. They can just come again, grab a meal and go. And in 2013, we helped to serve 7.6 million summer meals in New York City.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's a lot of food.
Now, August, you're also very involved with wellness in the schools. Can you tell us why and how is childhood hunger so important to you, or childhood nutrition? Why is that a very important thing in your life?
Well, I have children. That always helps. But there's people that actually don't, you know, obviously don't still can understand the importance of the cause. I didn't have to think about this when I was growing up. And I think some people, you really say, no, just think about it for 1 second. Think about being hungry as a child at school. My school was 3 blocks away from my family's Italian specialty store, and I had hot lasagna being delivered by the lunch lady who was a family friend and just swung by the store and picked it up. And so I think when in wellness in the schools, I was lucky enough to get involved with that organization, a fantastic organization, about 8 or 9 years ago. And it was really about, all right, just think about this, being hungry and not being able to do anything with it. And then obviously having children, you really start to think about your children being hungry and how can you not, you know, put your effort into helping this cause and supporting it. So that's kind of my reason for being involved and why it's important.
And John, you have we're all here because we're all a little bit more involved than the average restaurant that's just participating. But you're very, very involved with this organization. Can you tell us about what your involvement is like?
Well, excuse me. Years ago, I was I got involved in a charity called Spoons Across America, and we would go into the classrooms, the fifth grade, and talk, bring the farmer in and just really educate kids, you know, to where the food comes from. And it was, it just astounded me that, a lot of these kids, and these are, these were not, this was the West Village in New York City. These kids were eating Ritz crackers for lunch, and there was just a complete lack of, of education amongst parents, amongst kids about what they should be eating. And being in the food business, I was blown away by this. So I just got, very interested in and as I mentioned before, I have a friend that runs a charter school. And I just think that we just have to get you know, make this part of the educational process. You know, not only to feed hungry kids, but to know, you know, where this food comes from and about nutrition and what they should be eating. And so, you know, to me, it's just very, it was, you know, it came really out of just being shocked by, because I'm like, you know, I'm like August. I was, you know, I had broccoli rob sandwiches in my lunchbox as a kid. I never thought about this. You know, I never, you know, we had plenty of food growing up, and you know, I see, you know, these schools, these public schools in my neighborhood, and there's just a complete lack of sort of education, and it's surprising, and we really, and it just forced me personally to go out and try to do something about it, and I would advocate everyone to go on the SOS website and just volunteer and just get out there and see it for yourself. And once you see it, you can't help but sort of want to get involved.
So it's not just about hunger, but about education and teaching people like how to eat healthfully and
what
nutritiously
to eat. Exactly.
And what to eat.
Right, right. I mean, it's and you see the disparity, you know, in the classroom, you see the disparity, but, you know, there's the kid that, you know, that, you know, when I ask, what'd you eat for dinner last night? And, you know, one kid says, well, we had 14-month prosciutto. And the other kid says, you know, we had Ritz crackers. And these kids are living, you know, within the same 10-block, you know, parameter. So, you know, there's a real need for this.
Yeah. And you said you can go on the website and get involved. What are some of the ways that people can just get involved?
People can come volunteer, be Day of Volunteers at Taste of the Nation, mm-hmm. which is so fantastic. Food professionals can get involved with our Cooking Matters program, which is part of the No Kid Hungry campaign. And it teaches children and families in need how to prepare and shop for meals on a budget. And I think actually, to John's point and just the disparity, one of the greatest parts of that program, in addition to they cook and prepare meals together and eat meals together, so you do reinforce the importance of a meal as a time to connect as well. We do a Cooking Matters at the Store tour where you learn how to shop for unit pricing and, you know, where can you get the biggest bang for your buck, what has to be fresh produce versus frozen versus canned. And we often take our supporters who are not people who are food insecure in any way or have experienced that in their life. We'll take our supporters on these tours. And even they are learning something on those tours. So I think that program is a great way to get involved.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break right now. Before we go, I'm just going to remind you of the website, tasteofthenation.org/New York City. It is the Taste of the Nation event on April 28th. We will all be there. It's an incredible event, and I hope to see you there. But we'll be back in just a bit.
It's summertime. It's summertime, and the bars are closing, and the bars are closing. All the doors are open, all the doors are open wide. So find your friends, so find your friends. Tell them what they want to hear, tell them what they want to hear.
Today's music is by Cookies on heritageradionetwork.org.
Tell him not to be so goddamn uptight. Throw a parade, throw a parade, throw a parade for me. Then I'll behave, this time I'll behave. Throw a parade for me. When the party's
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Seeing a need to help people sort through all the misinformation about healthy eating, Whole Foods Market added a seventh core value: to promote the health of our stakeholders through healthy eating education. In our stores, we give you the tools you need for choosing the most nutritious foods and healthy recipes, as well as offering classes with nutritionists and cooking coaches to help inspire good health and well-being. Stop by your local store today and learn more about our Health Starts Here program and wellness clubs, or online at wholefoodsmarket.com/healthstartshere.
And we're back on In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. And again, today we're talking with a group of people about the Taste of the Nation event for Share Our Strength. I'm going to pose this question over to Heather Carlucci, who is a pastry chef for 20 years. If you were to design a dessert that would actually work well in the the public school setting, what could kids be eating that's healthful and that could also kind of work in that setting?
It's a little bit of a loaded question for me. I have a daughter in the public school system right now, and I always make her lunches. Probably because of pressure that I probably should as a chef. But I left pastry because I really felt that there was a problem with the amount of sugar that I was putting out there and that I was eating, and I was around even when I didn't know it was around. And I can't deny her anything. I don't think you can deny kids stuff. But honestly, I'm very opinionated on this, and I really believe we need to really, when it comes to this, we need to stick to fruit and nuts, and well, a lot of people can't eat nuts now, but you stick to really basic natural things, because kids now need a palate for this. They're so used to getting everything processed, and the food out there is just sweet, you know. And people, we were talking earlier about not, you know, you couldn't believe what people were eating, but families don't cook anymore, so we don't know where our food is coming from. And then when you really begin to look and you really begin to study what is out there and why our kids are sick and why we're sick, is because there's sugar everywhere. And you know what? If they don't have a choice, they'll eat the fruit. Yeah. And most of these kids don't even know where fruit comes from anymore. Like, I'm shocked. You don't. When I do work, you know, with wellness in the schools and SOS, and I'm just around other schools, I can't believe they don't know how a peach grows. Yeah, these are very things that, you know, in our generation was common knowledge. We all sort of knew where stuff came from, and now we don't. So as far as that concerned, fresh fruit for the public schools, if possible.
Yeah, I agree with John's point before that. This should be a there should be a class that you take every year. There should be education, home ec, right? But now home ec, I guess there was. It's gone by the, you know, I liked home ec.
I loved it. There's a movement of teachers bringing it back. So and people know, like,
we moved to like a cutie little town upstate a little bit upstate. And they call it something else, but it's basically home ec. They're cooking, they're sewing, they're drafting. I'm like, that's a good thing.
And there should be a gardening aspect. You should understand. I agree with you. There should be a grow something and make something with the thing that you've grown.
I think a lot of the chefs that also work with SOS are also very farm-based chefs. And I think that has to come back, because we're losing a lot of farms and we're losing a lot of small farms. And that's really how we all learn about stuff. You know, it's just because it's another person in our world.
That's right.
And I think that's another thing that's been really important to bring it in. I noticed, like, Bill Telepan, who's like the king
our
of wellness
hero.
In the schools. You know, he is Mr. Hands-On Chef and has been, you know, since beginning of his career. And he's really into teaching, making sure that these kids know where their food comes from. So important.
It's such a natural progression. I think chefs are natural caregivers. And once you're aware of the struggle that some families or children face around food, you want to get involved. And then once you're involved in issues of access, you also start thinking about where the food's coming from. Or sometimes you're thinking about where the food's coming from, and then you realize there are issues of access.
Yeah, I agree with chefs being caregivers. This event is really taking the best of what we have in the hospitality industry. We're giving food and wine and camaraderie and donating our time and kind of focusing all of that on this event. And so I agree with you. This question's for John. John, when kind of a similar question to what I gave to Heather, but if you're designing a lunch that was healthful for kids, that would kind of work in maybe a school setting. How would you approach that? Do you feel that kids really do have a different palate? You see even at sometimes good restaurants, there are like certain kids menus.
Oh yeah, I mean they want to eat something sweet, you know.
You hear me? They're best. They want to, you know. Of course, we're kids. And we want to eat sweet stuff. I would really like to see more you know, more pasture-raised stuff and more grass-fed stuff and more just, you know, getting back to the way food is supposed to be, the kind of food our grandparents ate, you know. It's funny, I was in Italy over the summer, and you eat, you know, and I was curious about if you know, the cows that produce, you know, Parmesan cheese are grass-fed. And, you know, they have to look at me like, are you kidding me?
What else would
we feed them? But that's not the case in you know, our culture and the way we've monetized the food system. I think it's insane. So I think that and I think it's also very difficult for, you know, to be a restaurateur to sort of to buy these products and find them and seek them out because they're very expensive. They're rare. And I would just like to figure out a way, and I'm going to need help with this because I don't have the answer, but to sort of get the teachers and the system to understand how important the pasture-raised stuff is, mm-hmm. in cheese, in, you know, in the cows and the milk that the milk that these kids are drinking is loaded with hormones and chemicals and all kinds of junk. And that's the start. I would like to see a program where we can get organic milk, you know, or even, you know, get off, you know, the cow's milk, you know, because, yeah. You know, there's a whole, you know, school of thinking that that's not really great for kids.
I think so, we have a marketing problem, too. I think once we have to start calling things pastured beef and grass-fed beef, it sounds
exactly.
horrible, and the price
and
is elitist, right?
But it sounds expensive, like, yeah.
Yeah, instead of, like, we should just have milk instead of organic milk. There's milk, and then there's milk with hormones added.
It's
just put a different spin, and then I think it's easier to say, well, that's what we want, and I believe if more people were leaning that way, then the price would start to come down.
Exactly right. We need to demand this. If we demand it, the market will, you know, look at cigarettes, for God's sakes. I mean, we've basically wiped out a whole business because of education, right, and getting the message out to how really bad it is, and I think the same thing needs to happen with food.
That's true. You go into like Whole Foods, for instance, and they have they write the word conventional on what has pesticides or chemicals, and organic on what isn't. Conventional, you think maybe should be the organic one, right? That should
one
be the normal way of doing things. And
I was looking for butter in the store, and that we have a great little purveyor at our green market that sells her grass-fed butter. But I was looking at the packages of Kerrygold, which of course is shipped in, and in very small print, it's from grass-fed cows. And again, I think to John's point, you go, you know, overseas, that is the way. We're not going to invest in alternate methods of feeding animals that aren't natural for them. You know, and I think, again, programs that help to educate people about, you know, how food functions in our body, how you can get the biggest bang from your buck. Michelle Nishan, another wonderful chef, has an amazing organization called Wholesome Wave. And one of the initiatives that they have are double value coupons at farmers markets. So again, how do we make it easier for folks who may struggle to purchase, you know, the right quote unquote kinds of food? How do we make it easier for them to purchase those foods? And so one way is by having their EBT dollars, SNAP, federally funded dollars, count double at a farmer's market so that you can actually buy more with those limited dollars and allow people to access that.
That's a great
local
idea.
Food.
And this one's going to go to August. As the CEO of our company, you know, we give away tons of gift certificates, donations, participate in all of these events. We made the decision, and it had to be a conscious decision, to use good eggs and local milk, because as John said, that those things are more expensive, and we agreed to have a higher food cost to work with those good quality products. But August, how do you make those financial decisions and say that this is how much we're going to be able to give away this year, or these are how many events we're going to do? And obviously these aren't, you know, they're not clear to the bottom line. They maybe arguably are against the bottom line, but something that we believe in as a company. And how do you make those decisions?
You know, I think, it's got to start with establishing a culture of giving and of participating company wide. What we do, I mean, from a business standpoint, we're running businesses, and it's difficult to even squeak out a profit in the restaurant industry. But If you can get creative around it, if you have your team, your partners, your everyone from part-time employees all the way through, if you establish this culture of kind of let's put our heads together and figure out how we can help cause like Share Our Strength and how we can realize how important or how lucky we are. Then you figure out ways to make it work financially from a business standpoint. And I think the biggest thing is time, right? I think you have like-minded people coming together, so you can work with a purveyor, and they can donate food that the restaurant can have their people come prepare. We can all market together and stuff. So you just get like-minded people together, all knowing that we're each gonna sacrifice a little bit, and then it ends up being a huge sacrifice, and we all can make it work together. But it's a cultural thing, I think. Yeah. So,
all right, I'm going to give Jenny the last word. Jenny, are there any other thoughts you want to send us off with?
We like to say it takes more than food to fight hunger. It takes you. And I think it's true. I think we have to build a community around our children. They're our children. I mean, this is the next generation. We can't have them growing up ill-equipped to, think, to act, to lead the way. And I think Taste of the Nation is such an easy way to play your part. Come out, have a great time, come taste food from all these incredible chefs locally. And locally is everywhere. We're in Boston the day after New York on April 29th. We're in LA on June 1st. We're in Chicago on August 13th, and lots of cities in between. Folks can find all of those again at nokidhungry.org/events. But it's going to take all of us to make No Kid Hungry a reality, and I'd like to see us get there.
I'd like that as well. Thank you so much. I want to thank our amazing panel today. We had obviously Jenny Dirksen, August Cardona, John DeLucci, and Heather Carlucci. And also want to thank all the restaurants who are participating. It's going to make this event fantastic. Also, Tito's Vodka and Vita Coco, who we work with quite a bit. They're amazing partners on a variety of events and things for us. And just a reminder to you, pick up your tickets at tasteofthenation.org/New York City. It's for the Taste of the Nation event on April 28th. I will be there. We'll all be there, and we hope to see you there. Thanks so much for listening. This has been In the Drink on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.